Good morning, true crimers, and welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffin Daffer. Oh boy, I tell you, so much to discuss. And listen, I'm not forgetting about Nancy. I have a few words to say about her at the end. You will always see that yellow pillow. Whoops, this way. It's backwards in a camera. On my chair there as a reminder of Nancy. That will remain up. Typically, as you know, whenever I do a show on Nancy, I always am dressed in yellow as well. I appreciate y'all joining me earlier. I know 8 o'clock is maybe a little early. I'm hoping that we have a good audience. Nevertheless, I think the people in Europe will probably love this time frame, and maybe our folks down under too. But I know it's tough for, my gosh, California, all the other people, 8, 7, 6, 5 in the morning is pretty early for California, but hoping some of you can make it on. Normally, we'll continue to do our shows at about 10 o'clock, but I have an interview, which should be interesting. I'm very excited about. I'll let you know if it leads to something or not that I'm doing. It would be just a side situation, nothing permanent. But anyway, I'm very excited about that later this morning. So I had to sort of change the time of our show. So again, keeping Nancy in our prayers and in our thoughts. But I want to discuss today something that has really been all over the airwaves. I've talked about it a couple of times on News Nation. Unfortunately, you know, my point of view, I also did an article with Newsweek, and I haven't read the article yet, but I know there's one out there, and there could be more than that. I don't really peruse or look into the different articles, unless they're sent to me, which I do really appreciate when the authors send them to me. But I want to talk about these scientists, everyone. It's kind of running rampant that these scientists and their deaths are somehow related. I've seen a lot of overarching themes. I've seen the fact that it's the U.S. government trying to take out our scientists. I've seen overarching themes that no, it's a foreign power. Overarching themes that this is just some big conspiracy. And I really hope to put so much of that to bed. I know that I think because of just sadly what's been stirred up and misunderstanding by the public, because they read, you know, they don't have time to do the deep dive. I've done the deep dive. I'm going to go over the deep dive on each one of these scientists. Every one of them we're going to talk about and what their situation is. It's really disheartening, in my opinion, to see what's happening. I've seen it, a lot of people who, social media people, meaning creators, or they have absolutely no background in investigations or in law enforcement, in the science realm, nothing. And actually, I was really hoping to get on a friend of mine who worked for NASA for years. He's a doctor now, one of the most brilliant guys I've ever met. He maxed out his MCAT, which is the test to get into medical school. And just one of the most brilliant guys I've ever met. I was hoping to have him on because he worked on the Hubble telescope. He was with NASA for many, many years. And of course, he thinks it's all baloney. But and I actually would love to get on somebody that has some sort of alternate point of view. You know, it's impossible to find because you have to sit down and do work. I did hours of work on this, to be honest, hours of work on this because I thought it was important. I think it's important. And I think it is really a sad state of affairs, honestly, that so many people in our country have so much distrust for the U.S. government, and that because of that mistrust, they could even think that something like this could be true. And I think that's really, in a lot of ways, the genesis of a lot of this. I mean, I realize the genesis. I'll tell you the genesis, in my opinion, how this all happened. Was, I know particularly for me, and I was one of the first to talk about McCaslin, I was looking at other elderly people that had gone missing or been taken or something like that all throughout the United States, done a huge scrub of all of that. But very early on, clear back when General McCaslin first went missing, obviously I saw that. I put him on my Twitter the day he went missing. I kept, you know, expanding on it, talking about it, all the details, working through it, putting up the 911 call, putting up information given by his wife, just expanding on it, because I was initially trying to see if there was any nexus to Nancy Guthrie. That was the whole reason I looked into General McCaslin. Well, after that, it kind of really grew legs of its own. And people started comparing Miss Reza, who had gone missing, to McCaslin. And then once people started comparing Miss Reza, by the way, there's no comparison, but we'll talk about that. And I want to be careful here. I shouldn't say that. So apologies up front. I'm not going to editorialize my comments. I want you all to see them cleanly. In other words, the facts, and then everybody can make their own determinations. And I know the government will, and I know the FBI will on this. It should be very easy to see even from what's publicly available. And I can't imagine once they're going to be able to get into the local law enforcement files in terms of their investigations concerning each of these. And I'll tell you, the local law enforcement officers that are working each of these cases, you can bet that's ramped up because now they're going to have to go back and make sure they interviewed every witness that needed interviewed and everything, because now there's such a microscope on this. And I understand, and maybe there's not much interest in my audience. You know, we are a big missing person audience and an audience that looks for justice in cases like Nancy Guthrie's and, of course, the Idaho 4 and Gabby Petito type cases. And this is more of an overarching, but I have to say I just had to come on and share my deep dive with you all and talk about this from a pragmatic, factual, Occam's razor point of view. I don't think anybody's doing that. They're just making sweeping statements. And I think once you see some facts here, you're going to be really shocked at how this has gone so out of control. I want to first talk about some statistics just to do with other occupations. So basically, and we're going to talk about how these individuals don't even fall within the same occupation. They're not scientists. Some are. Most of them don't even have any clearances. Most of them don't work for the government. There's admin assistants. There's procurement people. There's people that deal with pharmaceuticals. They don't even deal with anything with science to do with U.S. government, UFOs, anything. It is really, really so amazing that this has gotten spun into something it's not. But let me first of all go into, see, I said I wasn't going to make editorial comments. It's hard on this one because, like you all, I look at facts. I look at facts. When you say overarching scientists murdered and missing, yeah, let's look below that. Let's look at each individual case and see if that's even true and accurate. What did they really do for a living? And what is the motivation behind this too? Anyway, I wanted to take you into a couple of different occupations. I looked at long-haul truck drivers. It's staggering how many long-haul truck drivers commit suicide or are murdered. Staggering. Those figures are in the thousands. Nobody's doing a case on them. Nobody's up in arms about them. And you might say, but Jen, they don't work with the government. Well, most of these people don't work with the government either. If you look at cases of men that have gotten drunk and died in the water, that's attributed, quote unquote, the smiley face killer. If you look at those individuals, people have sort of gotten stirred up about them. Although that's another situation that if you look at the individual cases, there's no smiley face killer out there. There's no smiley face killer that flew all the way to Barcelona, Spain, to kill the young man who ended up being in a nightclub till 3 in the morning and went over to a dock and fell in and ended up dying. There's no smiley face killer. But that's another situation where a lot of people want to make sense. They want to make sense out of it. And I get that. And if you look at these scientists, and they're not scientists, by the way, again, we're going to go into that. But if you look at these individuals, they've been lumped into this category, and it's mind-blowing to me what's happening. Obviously, police, I just wanted to go into even police officers. So the years that they're looking at these, whatever, people in the industry of academia, some are scientists, some work for Los Alamos, some work have worked for arms of NASA. We'll get into that. But if you look at any area, any demographic, any occupation, you are going to see statistics with suicide and murder that are quadruple anything we see with these people, more than that. So obviously, police, I wanted to go over that generally. 185 suicides in, let's see, in 1 year, I have down. 1 year. 735 deaths between 223 and 225 is the result of homicides and suicides. Now, you would kind of expect that with police. I think people think that, it's a high stress position. Obviously, people get killed in the line of duty, things like that. So obviously, those are going to be very elevated. But I also looked at doctors because I wanted to get on the same level as some of these individuals have PhDs. Some didn't, some did. If you look at doctors, physicians, 300 to 400 doctors commit suicide every year, 300 to 400. That's a really big statistic. And I'm going to talk about why that's important when I get into the nuts and bolts of these individuals you see on your screen. If you look at murders amongst physicians, it's about 4 a year. So really low, but certainly much higher than this group we're seeing. So again, amongst doctors, and some of these individuals do have PhDs, 300 to 400 a year suicides. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's trying to say, is there somebody trying to take off our doctors, our medical leaders, our people who are supposed to be treating us? Is there a conspiracy to do that? I guess it's just not sexy enough to really look at numbers where there are issues. I looked at FBI agents. This obviously was personal to me. I wanted to look at FBI agents and specifically talk about suicides. There's a lot. I consider it a lot. Basically, from what I could tell between 1990 and 1999, which are the statistics that I could find, about to a year, just under to a year. Now, I don't know how well tracked that is and how well that has been tracked over the years, but I can tell you when I was an FBI agent, and this was just in the Houston division, there was a person on our squad who had a family, multiple children, was married. He was a young agent, you know, less than young agents. First of all, as an FBI agent, if you don't have 3 to 5 years in, you that's about the time frame you sort of know what you're doing, kind of. At 10 years, you finally know what you're doing. But 3 to 5, depending on how much you're immersing yourself in the job, 3 to 5, 1 year, forget it, you don't know anything. 2, 3 years, you're starting to learn. You're being brought up by the older agents. You're learning and experience. Like I said, 5 years, if you're a workaholic, you're starting to really understand, but even then you don't really know what you're doing. It just takes a long time for any job, but for an FBI agent. So anyway, this was a young agent, probably 3 years in. And when you saw him, everything seemed fine. He seemed very normal. But he had a lot going on behind the scenes. He had gotten himself in serious money issues. And he felt like he was drowning. He ended up, obviously, he had a huge life insurance policy because at the end of the day, he was thinking about his family. And he literally, and I think he did this so it wouldn't look like a suicide, because many policies, if you commit, if you take your life, you're not allowed to then reap the benefits of your policy. And he drove up onto a train track. I was thinking, what a horrible way to pass away. I mean, that's what he did. One morning he went out and he drove up on a train track. I think he had 3 children, as I recall, and left them with no father. It's so funny what people do over money when they just think that there's no way out. They can't think clearly and they just drowned in the negativity and no way out, as opposed to the positivity and saying, well, wait a minute, what about this, this, and this? Another agent that I've talked about a few times was my mentor. 9 years. I became, in a sense, although we were very professional, obviously, but almost like a daughter to him. I think that's how people sort of viewed our relationship. When I got married, he held the most beautiful party at his house, about 400 people there, you know, FBI agents mostly. It was beautiful. Tough on me, but taught me everything I knew about being an agent. Old Hoover guy. And there were others. And I was just thinking about, in my office, Houston, there were about 300 agents. It's really sad, but nobody's looking. My point here is nobody's looking at missing, you know, agents who take their lives, doctors, 300 to 400 every year, everyone, doctors who take their lives, go missing. You know, I say go missing because oftentimes they go missing, kill themselves, and then they're found. Nobody's looking at that, but this has all been spun. You could take any occupation, I promise you. You can look at hairdressers, teachers, take anyone you want. And the statistics blow anything we see here out of the water. But nevertheless, all it takes is a politician that says, ooh, look at this story. You know, one of his aides says, look at this story. People like this story. And they jump on it and they make sweeping statements like, oh, this is odd. Oh, this is weird. I worked in the Weapons of Mass Destruction Nuclear Counterproliferation Division with the FBI. I can tell you, this is not how scientists would be taken out by our Iranian foreign adversary government, for heaven's sakes. And you're going to see that none of these people worked in that arena anyway. I want to talk about, first of all, I'm going to categorize and then we're going to go through everybody one by one. I want to talk about how many people on this list did not have top secret clearance. And I'm actually doing 11. I think we see 10 up here. Maybe finally they've decided to take one of them off because it was so ridiculous that he would be on there. Actually, I'm looking at some of the most ridiculous ones that still remain up here. But nevertheless, oh gosh, I said I wouldn't editorialize. So sorry. I have to tell you, I'm a little bit worked up about this case because I'm so surprised that, first of all, anybody would buy into it. And then I'm also surprised that the media has ramped it up so much that the government now is going to waste time on this when all it takes is just a minor, not a minor, few hours to look at these cases and understand. And thankfully, I'm not standing alone. I have found new friends in the Twitter X world that I never thought I would intersect with that are in scientific communities and that are very much what I call people who just are no nonsense, you know, and huge accounts. There's one account with almost 300,000, you know, followers. And then all of a sudden, you know, they saw my tweet and they're like, thank goodness somebody in law enforcement is telling the truth about this. And I really don't think that other pundits, talking heads you're seeing, it's not that they're not trying to tell the truth. They're looking at headlines and they're just not taking the time to study the cases. That's the whole thing. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the people that didn't even have any clearance. No clearance, no top secret clearance, didn't work with the government, weren't working on anything governmental, weren't nothing, no clearances. So let's start with that. 6, that's over half of the 11. Only 4 had clearances at all. And 1 did have a clearance, although I think it was outdated because he had already left government service. After about 3 years, your top secret expires. And so typically you don't have it. He was under that. So that's why I put him in the unknown category. I put him in the unknown category because I don't know if it was expired or not. But it could be or it couldn't be. And from everything I've read with him, nobody seems to exactly know. But nevertheless, just because you have clearance, I just wanted to get rid of certain categories. So for everybody to understand that these aren't high-level government scientists with top secret clearance, 6 of them don't even qualify in the category that people are putting them at. All right, let's go one by one. Actually, let's do it by the photo I have up. Anthony Chavez. Got to look in my review. All right. Number 1, Anthony Chavez was 78 years old. He had worked at Los Alamos Labs. He did not have Secret Service or clearance at the time. He died on 5/4, or not 5, I'm sorry, not died. He went missing 5/4/25. And sadly, really, he wasn't even reported missing for 4 days. So it took 4 days for anybody sort of to even notice he was missing. And this is what happens with our retired folks, right? I mean, we saw it front and center with Gene Hackman. You know, they were missing for so long, and he and his wife, and it took essentially one of their yard workers who hadn't seen him around and kind of peered through a window and saw them deceased, you know, for anything to be reported. So Mr. Chavez, again, 4 days before, again, he's retired, no clearance, before anybody sort of noticed he was missing. He was a hiker. The last time he was seen was on 37th Street in Denver. He left behind everything, you know, his cell phone, everything, all his belongings, things along that line. And according to officials, you know, they suspect suicide. It was funny, or that he took his life. I'd like to say that he took his life. When I look at his case, again, I'm a statistics person. 78, did you know that is the age category which is the highest statistical age of men who take their lives? For many, it's a very difficult time, especially people who used to have big jobs, people who had important jobs who no longer are working, people who are struggling with loneliness, people who struggling with various health issues that for some, they don't want to continue. And again, I'm looking at what police believe. They're the closest to these cases. No signs of foul play. Yes, missing. Yes, still unsolved. I believe he will be found, sadly, and that law enforcement and the signs and clues, the evidence he left when you leave everything behind, things like that, that when you look at the demographic, likely he took his life. That's what is believed. All right, let's move on to Carl Grimmer. This is one of the ones I can't believe he's even on this. 67 years old. He had no clearance, never had a clearance. He was a teacher, worked at Caltech. The stuff he taught was pretty cool, though. Things to do with water vapor around planets, infrared processing. Definitely a scientist, but an academic person studying those kinds of things. No secret clearance, not doing anything for the government, nothing like that. He was shot at his house by a guy named Freddie Snyder. He's already been arrested, Freddie. This happened on February 16th of this year, 2026. And Freddie Snyder was a career criminal, bad dude on a spree, on a criminal spree. He'd done a carjacking. Let me see, a robbery, I believe. Oh, sorry, a burglary, a carjacking. And then he killed Mr. Grimmer. Terrible. This wasn't some high-paid assassin from the CIA. This is something that sadly happens to people every day, multiple times a day. Career criminals who typically for money, Sometimes just because they don't care, you're the victim of a violent crime, a violent offender, when you were doing nothing wrong. It's been solved. There's no big conspiracy. He was killed by a punk. He hasn't been convicted yet. It's early. But to say the case isn't solved is ridiculous. The case is solved. He was murdered. There's no mystery here. That's what happened to Mr. Gilmore. Who do we have next? Frank Maywald. I remember him. Look at my notes. I have so many notes. Okay, 61 years old. He worked for NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, which, by the way, and I think I have those numbers. I put them in the tweet. Did I not put them in these notes? Thousands of people work for NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. We're going to see three on this list that either in the past or worked at some point for NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. That's why I really wanted to have my buddy who worked on the Hubble telescope, who worked for NASA, on here. This is not thousands of people, everyone. So again, back to my numbers. When you look at physicians across the country, that 300 to 400 commit suicide each year, you'll see how minuscule these numbers are that we're dealing with over a 3.5 year time frame. Everyone, he died of natural causes a couple years ago, July 4th of 2024. Natural causes. Check out his obituary. There's nothing sinister. There's nothing, you know, to do with the government trying to take these people off. He was a researcher, but he died of a natural death. He's not gone. He's not disappeared. His family buried him. And you can see in a lot of these cases, this is hard on the family. It's sort of exploiting their loved one to be part of this nonsense. That's how I look at it. Let's look at Mr. Thomas. This is another obvious one, I believe. Okay. Yes. Mr. Thomas, 46 years old. He was a biophysicist by education. He had no government clearance, no top secret clearance. He wasn't working on anything to do with the government. He was a chemical researcher. Novartis is a pharmaceutical agency. Do they have some scientists that perhaps have been contracted? It's possible. It's not him. He worked particularly in chemical research to do with development of drugs to help people with serious issues, physical issues, ailments, concerns. Again, Novartis is a pharmaceutical research company. He specifically was over chemical research related to the development of new drugs to help people. He was last seen, the last time he was alive, he was seen walking down some train tracks. Law enforcement has said specifically, no foul play. They suspect no foul play. He was found, and the ME were waiting for that cause of death. This was disappeared 12-12 of 25, found deceased 3-17-26 in water. This is another case that law enforcement believes is a where he took his life. And these are always so tragic. But again, when you look statistically speaking, this happens in every demographic. And actually, the people that they're looking at, that we're looking at up on our screen, these 10, and again, I wonder which one they took off, because there have always been 11, but this is not out of the ordinary. Statistically, sadly, people take their lives. I told you physicians, 300 to 400. I told you FBI agents, about 2 a year, and I think that's probably higher. Government workers, 236. Total, 17 in 1998. Police, 185. I mean, these statistics I'm giving you are over the top in terms of comparison. Long haul truck drivers are, that's missing, deceased, or have taken their lives. That's in the thousands. It's crazy. Young men who end up deceased in water. Hundreds, not the smiley face. So what's happened is, because of the very loose, not even same places, not even same states, not even same jobs, not even same backgrounds, they've tried to lump all this together. And again, I look at what law enforcement says, and they believe that to be a suicide, no foul play. I'm looking for that ME. We'll see what he has to say. Okay, let's move on to Melissa Casillas. She is again no top secret clearance. She worked at Los Alamos. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people work at Los Alamos. This dates clear back to June 23 of 2025. She ended up that morning. She went into work. And then she left work saying that something about she forgot her badge, which is odd in and of itself. I mean, people forget their badge, but they go back and get it and come right back if they forget it, which most people don't forget it. She is an admin assistant responsible for generally being in charge of things. Again, no top secret clearance. She said she was going to just work remotely from home. She had lunch with her daughter. This is the day she went missing. Again, left her personal belongings at home. Factory reset her phone. That is a big indication. And was last seen walking alone on State Road 518. Suspected that she took her life, according to law enforcement. And again, they have so much more than we do. They are going to see diaries. She reset her phone for a reason, I believe. In other words, she didn't want anything traced as to what she had been looking at, researching, but they're going to be able to find a lot on her computers and everything else, what she was really going through. There's a reason law enforcement believes these people took their lives. And again, statistically speaking, this is a drop in the bucket compared to other areas. And I've tried to take areas that I've looked at the government. Statistics, generally the government. I looked at FBI, physicians, long haul truck drivers, because they're over the top. You could literally make the coolest case if you were a conspiracy theorist about there must be a murderer out there killing long haul truck drivers, because they're being killed and dying and committing suicide and going missing off the charts on a yearly basis. Conspiracy theorists, if you're out there or if you're listening, that's where you need to dig in, because This case is not that case. Let me move on. Monica Reza, she was the second person that, you know, after we were all looking at McCaslin, that Reza, people started talking about, oh, Monica Reza, because she was also hiking. Again, this has been over, well, about a year ago, 6/22/25. She worked also for JPL. She actually had a clearance. Again, had worked decades. And what I found so interesting on her, everyone, she actually back in the 90s invented I think this is pretty cool. She invented some sort of metal alloy of some sort, I guess, to be used in this line of work. That's what she did. She was a researcher, a metallist, if you will. And I thought that was really neat. I mean, can you imagine being able to say, I invented something that was worked in jet propulsion for NASA? I mean, it was not just her. It was her and others, but she is attributed as part of that. Clear back in 90, this picture is a very, it's a pretty young picture of her. But she has a very interesting background. She loved to hike. She actually was out with multiple people hiking. Again, I ask you this. If there's some government assassin going to take out different people, and again, it's not like her area of expertise. And a lot of people, I don't know if people know this, but I'm going to let you know, because I had top secret clearance, the highest level of clearances there were. It's like, well, anyway, there's all these acronyms for them. And you've got this long string of letters behind your name, but top secret clearance. And when you have top secret clearance, that doesn't mean, because I'm working a case that requires top secret clearance, that I can share my knowledge. So when I worked in nuclear counterproliferation at headquarters at Weapons of Mass Destruction, that doesn't mean that I could share my cases and what I had going on with somebody that was working in Weapons of Mass Destruction in the radiological department, or in the other departments. I could not do that. So that's the situation here, is top secret clearances are very much compartmentalized. And let me get this, because there's somebody at the door. Let me get my husband to get that. Hopefully he can, he's on his text. So you're not allowed to share. And that goes for scientists, that goes for everything. You're not allowed to share what you're working on. Even if they have top secret clearance, there are very strict rules about this. This is specifically called need to know. They not only have to have top secret clearance, but they must have the need to know. I think this is really important for people to understand this. If you've never had top secret clearance or worked in the government, you don't just walk around talking about your cases. You don't talk about the top secret knowledge you have with others. That isn't how it works at all. You can work with your colleagues that specifically are involved in those areas, but you're not at all allowed to talk about your what you know, unless they have a need to know. So in this particular case, you're looking at scientists who, for instance, her, she's dealing with metals. I think actually she was a rock expert. I think by education, that was kind of her, you know, one of her areas of expertise as well. But she developed this medal. She continued working. She was certainly working at the time. She certainly had a clearance at the time of her disappearance. Again, JPL, she didn't work with any of these people at JPL. It's been said that the McCasland worked with her. That wasn't correct. They worked for the same, if you will, government agency. Thousands of people. And in fact, McCasland was so high ranking as a general. Remember, he was retired for 13 years. We're going to get to him, but I'm just trying to do these in order of the pictures you see here. But there's the intersection, if you can imagine, is somebody that's way above in charge, and then somebody lower level that's actually doing the work. And there's absolutely no proof that he even ever intersected with her or particularly spoke to her or signed off on her evaluations, nothing, because these are huge governmental agencies. Huge governmental agencies. Thousands of people working. None of these people overlapped at all, except, and when I say overlap, in any way, these two worked actually at one point in time. He had been retired for 13 years before he went missing for the same agency. So what people are doing is they are taking people who are missing, people who are believed by law enforcement to have taken their lives, people who have died, that the case has already been solved, people who died of natural causes, and they're trying to find any link they can. It's just so wrong. To me, I see it as something that is a slap in the face to the victim families, particularly when there's cases of proven that they've taken their lives. And we're going to talk about one of those. So Reza is on this hike and with multiple people, and she and another person are close in proximity to each other. And it's the other person who says, he looks back, she waves, sees her, she seems to be fine, and then he doesn't see her again. Right? There's a big distance between them, apparently. And he's been interviewed. I did see information, interestingly, since he was the last one to see her. Obviously, there is some concern amongst law enforcement. Anytime you're the last one to see somebody and you have opportunity that there could have been foul play, you're going to investigate that person. Law enforcement has said they don't believe there's sign of foul play at this point, and they're looking into the case. They have not found her. Guess what? They didn't find Brian Laundrie with millions and millions and millions of dollars of state, local, and federal assets over 5 weeks when they had pinpointed where he was. Travis Decker, nope, couldn't find him for months. Finally went back and looked, and he was 1 mile from where he killed his little girls. The coach, Travis, the football coach that was having an inappropriate, reportedly charged inappropriate affair with a young minor, takes his rifle, that's a clue, leaves everything behind and goes up to the mountains. It is beyond a needle in the haystack to look for people who have taken their lives in the vastness of the wilderness areas. And that, unfortunately, is where many of these people either take their lives, or in the case of Miss Reza, I believe in her situation, has just, I believe, suffered a terrible accident, slipped, went down into a ravine someplace, and it took a while to really understand that she wasn't around. This is not the place you would go out and say, this is where my big assassination of a woman who back in 1990 developed a medal, who works on jet propulsion. I mean, what's the big secret? And the big secret that nobody knew but her, so you had to take her out. It's just interesting what's happening. Let's move on. This is the killer one. They have to take this one off the list. The two that they really, or more than that, the people whose the cases have been solved, Grillmere and Lorero, how they are on any list is mind-blowing, and also the two that died of natural causes. This is so difficult on these families to me. If I saw my family, and many of them are coming out, and they're like, listen, no, not many people are listening, but they are coming out. Remember Nuno Lorero? Remember the Brown shooting? The wackadoodle who went into the Brown campus and started shooting? The scientist, the guy that was brilliant but mad at Brown University after, you know, years and years of not being at Brown, years and years, but held this horrible grudge, who was partners. In other words, they knew each other and were involved in a relationship of some sort. I'm not saying sexual. I'm just saying they were definitely, you know, competitors, if you will. And Lorero, he had no top secret clearance, everyone. He literally was a plasma scientist. He worked at MIT teaching students. No government relationship at all. And this is the kicker for me, that he could even be on any list like this. He was killed by the Brown shooter. The Brown shooter admitted it, talked about it. There was evidence. His vehicle was outside of his house. He went in and killed him. A rival, a retribution. This guy felt like he needed a retribution against Brown University and against Lorero. And he killed him. It's proven. It's done. There's nothing confusing. There's no stone was left unturned in that case. He left a warehouse where he had everything he used to commit his crimes. He left explicit details about the crimes he committed. Please go back and look. I documented that case so well, the Brown shooter, on it from the get-go, through the time that, you know, his vehicle was seen outside Lorero's house, and then he goes in and kills Lorero, who he knew. They had some sort of relationship, a rivalry. Lorero was successful, a professor at MIT, no government clearances, no top secret, no nothing, teaching at a school, which, as I mentioned, that's the case with six of these people, where they had no clearances, no top secret secrets. So Lorero, how he is on this list, how anybody could put Lorero and Grillmere, cases that have been solved, and Maywald, and we're going to get to the next one, who died of natural causes. One of them, I even have the ME certificate. It was a heart attack. It's just mind-boggling to me that people are exploiting these situations. All right, let's talk about Steve Garcia, 35 years old. He did have clearance. He was a contractor. So this guy was in charge of procurement. Basically, when things needed to be, you know, delivered, they needed to be exported, they needed to arrive at certain locations. This is the man. This is the Radar O'Reilly for people old enough to remember him. This is the guy that would handle all of that. Procurement. No scientist, nothing like that. I'm not putting him down. I'm just telling you what he did. Clearance. Yes. People in those positions, and I'm just going to double check. Yes, he did have a clearance. People in those positions need clearances, because are the items he was sending out, there's no need to know. It's underneath the clearance guide that those people need to have a clearance, so they don't go talking about things. On August 28th of 2025, he went missing. But guess what? He left everything behind. He left everything behind except his handgun. Another suspected a person who took their life. He was struggling with a lot. There had been, I want to double check this with some other information I have, but he, as I recall, I'm pretty sure this is right with him. Just want to make sure this is correct. Give me 1 second. Sorry. I have a lot of information on these cases, and I should have it all in this one notebook. But actually, I have this on something else. Give me 1 second. Yeah, that's what I thought. I just wanted to verify. Specifically, what law enforcement determined is he was a danger to himself. Obviously, they know so much more. The locals that looked into this, probably seeing everything from journals, talking to individuals. Yes, I know that somebody came out of the woodwork and said, no, they don't think he would have done it. Most people don't never want to think that their loved one or friend could ever want to do it because they hide it so well. They seem so well. So sadly, this is another case that law enforcement says he was a danger to himself and he took off and left everything except his gun. All right. Moving on, I'm going to get rid of this. Let's talk about Michael Hicks. We haven't talked about him. He was retired. And this case dates back. This is why this is, it's so interesting. Whenever you have a situation like this, you have people that want to go back. If it doesn't tell you what you want, like if you just take a year, it's not enough. So then you go back further and further and further so you can get more and more people locked into your conspiracy. If you look at Michael Hicks, 6/30 of 23. Oh my gosh. That's how far they went back for him. 59. Again, he was retired. And he did have a clearance. But guess what? He died, and I have the ME's report of heart disease. He had a heart attack. In the medical report, it says his morbid obesity lent itself to why he died. In other words, that contributed, his obesity contributed to why he had heart issues. It's very specific. Actually, I should have put a copy of that one up here. That was another one grouped into this group, despite the ME saying how he died. Despite law enforcement saying how Grillmore and Larrero were killed and who killed them. Despite Merriwald dying of natural causes, Hicks dying of natural causes, they felt it important to put him in. Let's talk about Charles Eskridge. First of all, Charles Eskridge, no clearance. He doesn't know any top government secrets. He was a DNA analyst, everyone. He was a forensic scientist. DNA. April of 2026. He committed suicide. This isn't a maybe. This isn't a missing and the body hasn't been found, or like Mr. Thomas that we're waiting for the ME. He did. And there's no denying it. And it's so terrible, I think, for these families to have their photos of their loved one who sadly took their life being used to sort of spin up this conspiracy or be a part of it. And again, overall, oh my gosh, statistically speaking, this is so low for people coming in late. Deep dive on statistics. And I took doctors, 300 to 400 a year kill themselves. Kids who get drunk and go into the water. Way higher statistically speaking than this. Autistic children found in water. Way higher than this. FBI agents, about 2 a year. Way higher than anything we see here. Are people trying to take our doctors off? The people trying to keep us well? Is there a conspiracy for that? Finally, I want to talk about former General McCaslin. You know, this is where this all began. And it all began because, I'm going to give you the genesis. I talked about it earlier. It was because many of us were very much embroiled in the Nancy Guthrie case. We were embroiled in this case. We still are. Talk about her every day. We're going to talk about her at the end here right now. And so McCaslin, who is pictured again, the bottom right here, you can see this is him with his uniform. He was retired for 13 years. He was working on boards. He was still working. But as far as having a clearance, that's the only one that I have down is unsure. Let me just double check. Yes. I have him as unsure only because he would have had one early on. But when you leave the government, unless you decide to up it for some reason, your security clearances expire. And they go away. So like right now, even though I had top secret clearance for decades, I don't have it now. I don't have a reason to have it. And it's not easy to keep up your clearances. One, you have to have an extensive polygraph. So you have to coordinate that. You'd have to pay for that. And there's no reason to have a top secret clearance unless you are looking over top secret information. And as I explained earlier, just because you have top secret clearance, there's a need to know component where you're not allowed to share unless you actually have a need to know that information. So I just want to explain. I doubt McCaslin had a top secret clearance or had a clearance anymore, but I have him in the unknown category because he possibly could. The others I talked about, I know they don't or didn't at the time all this happened. So William McCaslin, he was very high ranking. So yes, there were many areas in the Air Force that he oversaw. And the reason I came across McCaslin right when he went missing, and it was funny, I posted him on Twitter saying, listen, he's missing, everybody in Albuquerque, you know, he's missing, because I often do the missing and I need to do more of the missing. I am now, because I don't do the missing as much as I follow cases closer. I do some missing, but I do a lot of deep dives long term. Right now, I'm into Nancy Guthrie. Before that, Idaho Four. Before that, Gabby Petito. So, and then I do, obviously, I still keep up with daily true crime, just interesting stories. And the reason I don't do the missing as much is because I've teamed up with a deputy Skaggs, who is huge. He does such a great job of keeping the missing out there, where they're missing from, their ages, their faces. He does such a great job. And then he also asks people to, you know, he invites people to look wherever they might be missing to just keep an eye out. And he has a whole slew of people that do that. They also do from his group and their law enforcement. They do a huge award that they give people every year for people who do the most in the missing community. And so I really try to keep, I allow him to tag me on every single post he does, which is a lot. So people are probably tired of getting spam. But it's my way of contributing every day, many people that are missing. To be clear, McCaslin was definitely still working. He also served chairman on a board. And so he was definitely still in the space, if you will. But this is what's important about retired Lieutenant McCaslin. Any information he had about the government and all that was so stale, 13 years out. Why would somebody want to kill this guy? He left at about 11 in the morning. I've listened to the 911 calls, posted them. I should post that on here. I should have brought that up, actually. And his wife explains he was struggling with health issues and that he told her he wasn't sure that he wanted to go on. I mean, that's pretty crystal clear. Law enforcement said when he left, he was in a mental fog. He left without his glasses that he needed to see every day, everyone. And yes, they are misreporting. It's terrible what's happening. I've gone through each one. How they died naturally, how people who were responsible for their deaths have been arrested or are dead now because they killed the person, Nana Lareros, who I'm talking about, and then took their lives. Two died of natural causes. So out of all these people that the media and everybody can find, we're left at one who's a confirmed, took their life unequivocally, and four that are currently missing, believed to have taken their lives. Or, I'm sorry, not Miss Reza. Miss Reza, I think, could have been a hiking accident. But I don't know, because they were looking into the last person she was seen with, because they only have her opinions, his opinions, as to what happened. He was the last one to see her. But, you know, the FBI will be able to get all these intricate things that we can't get. We can't, you know, we don't have the extrapolation of phone calls. We don't have what they Googled. We don't have the witness statements. But I'm going with the conclusion that law enforcement has made. And with McCaslin, it's a little bit easier because his wife has spoken. We have the 911 call. We know he was in a crisis of some degree. He left only with his hiking boots. He took his revolver. Revolver is not a gun you use to, you know, ward off bears in the Sandia foothills outside of Albuquerque. It's a vast, vast area. He took his ID, I think, because truly he wanted people, whoever found him, to know who he was. He likely knew. In my experience, I'm a farm girl. Overnight, if there's an animal or something that ends up dying, overnight, they are absolutely picked apart. And within a very short period of days, they can be down to just bones down to a mandible. You know, it's, I mean, look at what was left of Brian Laundrie, literally his mandible. You know, it's just wildlife in these environments where these individuals are missing. Mr. McCaslin, Sandia Foothills, I lived in Albuquerque for some period of time. They are vast. And he was very experienced. He didn't take his glasses, everyone. For those who wear glasses, I can't even do a show without my glasses because I cannot see up close. He left with his revolver. Very good at close range, not good at far away. He left behind his cell phone. He left behind his watch. He left behind anything that could track him. So let me put this up on the screen. Yes, and K, misleading. Jen, I'm a retired PhD scientist who works in the federal government, never had a clearance at any level. I'm so happy you are giving us the clarity one by one for each person on this publicized list. Thank you, Mary. So many people think because you work for the government that you even had a clearance. And I'm glad Mary's coming forward. You don't. FBI agents. Not all FBI agents have clearances. In fact, most don't have top secret clearance. Very few have top secret clearance. I had top secret clearance because I worked on SWAT, and everybody who worked on SWAT had to get a top secret clearance because you were exposed to information on different cases because of the cases you had to go support. Also, I worked in nuclear counterproliferation in the weapons of mass destruction. Obviously, had to have top secret clearance there. Also, at various times throughout my career, I supervised. So you're over different cases. So you have to have top secret clearance there. But typically, you don't have to. I just really hope, and I know Kash Patel is going to look at this. They've seen the public outcry. You know, I hope DOE, for those that worked over here in DOE, which again, a lot of these people were just academics. Not just, I'm just saying they didn't work on anything to do with UFOs, anything to do with anything. Look at the accounts pushing this narrative, everyone. I guarantee you, they do not either A, have law enforcement, scientific, any experience in that realm. They're just, you know, folks that entertain. And the reason that I guess this is under my craw right now, the reason this is under my craw is because I see it as an affront to the victim families of these people. I see it as people who are seemingly trying to say, for instance, that Nuno Lorero, who we all know how he died, he was killed by the Brown shooter. There's the Brown shooter admitted the Brown shooter's car was there. There's evidence out the wazoo that was in a warehouse that they had. Nuno Lorero was killed by the wackadoodle Brown University guy who had a retribution against Brown University and against scientists. So just watch and see who's supporting the narrative, because they're either doing it because they've done no investigation, because it does take hours. I'd like to say it's quick, but you can't. It takes hours. You have to look at obituaries. You have to look at any and all local information, because a lot of times that's the best place to find information. Very early on in the David case, the D4BD Celeste Rivas case that has recently finally been charged, that's where I started, KTLA. They owned that story. They had such great information. It's where you got to deep dive everywhere. So, you know, to me, this is a lesson on sort of who to follow. So anyway, everyone, thank you for being here. I did want to say a few words on Nancy. Just kind of wanted to remind everybody on where we're at and just a couple of the latest developments. I know we've talked about it extensively, but again, this has been a misnomer too. The DNA evidence that were found in the house of Nancy Guthrie, all of that was found back in February, right after she went missing. They were found pursuant to either Pima County search that was done the day she went missing on the first into the second. And I don't know how far into the second, so let me just say the first, because there's been mixed reporting on that. Pima County reported they were there 20 hours. And I've seen other reporting. Again, he has a lot of detractors, and there's a lot of sources that have a lot of reason to want to absolutely bury Nanos, right? They want the rival to win. He's still going to be there for 2 years. They've been mistreated, whatever the reason is. And again, we're only hearing from sources removed from the investigation, right? So somebody in the investigation perhaps said something, and now we're hearing a couple layers later about this. But there's a lot of source reporting, ABC source reporting, of course, News Nation is source reporting. All the networks have source reported. I keep wondering, is it the same source? But nevertheless, the FBI came out and said, and this is why I can unequivocally say this, FBI spokesperson said, this is not new DNA. They seem irritated in the release, and I put it in Twitter. This is not new DNA. We've had this, the DNA has been in the case since back in February, and we've been asking for it 2 months. That's what they wrote, 2 months, and we just now got it. And I just want to reiterate that that could be one of the biggest mistakes that was made in this case, because the FBI also said that we don't have new technology. In other words, we've had this technology. 2 months ago, they had the technology, and they currently have the technology. So I don't know if you remember this, but initially it was said the whole reason that they didn't transfer the evidence right away was because they had already done so much work on determining, for instance, who to compare it against with the family, who to compare it against with the pool people, with the housekeeper, all these people. They'd already done so much evidence that they would have to actually redo. And that made sense to me. I've talked about this, that whenever I had a case at the lab and then a new lab person came in, I was like, oh no, that means it's going to be a delay. So now, really, what's happened, because they didn't transfer it, knowing this is what kills me, and this is what might end up doing Nanos is, and myself and many others were supportive of Nanos initially, except for the crime scene. None of us could support that. But we tried to say, listen, this is a difficult shoes. He has a lot of decisions to make. This is something he hasn't seen. You know, we tried to give him the best deference we could, not bash Nanos hour. But this mistake, not transferring it to the lab, knowing that the lab has better technology than the Florida lab had, that being known, oof. Terrible decision. Terrible, terrible decision. So, anyway, I wanted to reiterate that and to give everybody hope that, listen, the Bureau is still looking at these vehicles. Remember what we saw finally in with Brian Koberger and his vehicle and being seen, you know, racing and, you know, at various locations at that hour of the night, right? We still have hope in terms of all the vehicle and footage that they're looking at. We still have hope in terms of the emails that were sent to the local stations and to TMZ. We have hope because two of those emails they say are related to the abductors. We have hope that that will be figured out. I can tell you not only the best and the best in the Bureau, but the best of the best in the industry are going to be looking at those, because that's what the Bureau does. If they don't have the people that can solve it, they're going to reach out and hire the people that can. According to ABC reporting again, this DNA is at 5 different labs, everyone. 5 labs. That to me tells me there's a lot more than just one sample of DNA. And we know that the hair most likely would have had mixed profiles that they can't, you know, separate. That had to be touch DNA, serum DNA of some sort. So everybody, to me, this is the biggest thing. Porch guy, you know, I still will never understand how nobody can identify porch guy. I just don't understand why somebody hasn't come forward. I did think this was interesting. If, and I'm going to put this out on a tweet, if porch guy is deceased, because he didn't do a good job, he got seen on the camera. If he was hired, just think how interesting that is. It's just something to consider. Law enforcement behind the scenes, I guarantee, is all over this. But there's reportedly 24 people working it. Pima County combined with task force officers. So that's kind of, again, the latest, not to reiterate what some of you, what I've talked about before, but it's worth reiterating because I just saw something where in an article and then other people just on my feed thinking that this is new DNA. I just want to be crystal clear. This is not something new they found. This is something that they've had, and they made the mistake not to send it to the FBI lab. And I remember sticking up for the decision at the time saying, listen, they can't start all over. This woman's life is on the line. You can't take now erase days and days of work. And because when you transfer to another lab, they don't just take that lab's opinion. You know, they rework it. So, all right, everyone. Oh my gosh, I've kept you all an hour and a half. I want to thank you all for being here. I just want to say that for the individuals who haven't been found and the one that the ME were waiting on the determination in terms of the scientists, I pray for all those families. I pray for all the families that have to see their loved one who either took their life, died of a heart attack, or was murdered, being splashed up here to make a point. And in the case of Nancy, we're going to talk about her every day. I'm working on a show about Cameron and a show about Savannah's husband, kind of run them down since they've also been accused in social media. So we'll run those down. Those shows are coming. So I want to just thank you all for being here, for getting up early. I know most of my audience is asleep. So from now on, we'll try to keep it at that 10 to 10:30 time frame, because I know that's a time frame that really serves everybody well. We did a 4 o'clock show and actually had a really, really nice showing. But I think our sweet spot is definitely 10 to 10:30. I think that kind of works for everybody, and it still gets up the West Coasters pretty early. But I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for being here. And until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie, for all the missing, and may the truth come to light on the scientists.